Harry. Hello, Robert. this is Harry Potter and the Goblet of Side Stories, Book the Fourth, Part the Third.
Yeah.
So that would be, this is now our seventh podcast.
Yeah.
We are awesome.
We are. plus, I'm not sure if Robert is even listening to them anymore. He should.
But this is sort of like a two Theophilus.
But now kind it's, of thing. Yeah, now it's just yeah. become our, yeah. It's own monster Robert. Now. To Robert. In my previous book, I told you about,
yes,
in our
exactly.
previous podcast, we told you about the first two thirds of
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And now this is the last third.
Yes.
We
last left you with our hero, Harry Potter, rescuing Ron and Fleur Delacour's little sister Gabrielle from the Black Lake. And the second task where the mermen had, mermaids, mer peoples, had taken them to the bottom of the lake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I did the impression, which don't ask me to do it again, because I don't think I can anymore. But
the mermaid impression.
Yeah.
You can totally do your mermaid impression again.
I don't know what it was. It was like...
Just try.
So like...
That is exactly what it was. It was perfect.
Thank you.
So because the mer people have communicated in such a way as Carrie just did...
Yeah.
They all
with
know
Albus
that,
Dumbledore.
Yep. With Albus, Percival, Wolfric,
Rick, Brian,
and Dumbledore. In re Harry James Potter.
Yeah.
About the survival of Ronald Bilious Weasley
yes.
and Gabrielle something Delacour.
Gabrielle French name.
Yes. Bernadette.
Sure.
She seems like a Bernadette. Anyway, Harry is the hero once again.
Yeah.
And Harry gets time off now because they announced that the second task, or the third task, won't occur until late June and won't be announced until late May. And so he's got, like, a couple months to just be a normal kid for the first time. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Is Harry Potter ever a normal kid? No. Because...
By the way, we have not mentioned yet.
Oh my gosh.
And it's been a full 2 minutes.
We need to mention it.
We do.
We do.
I don't think
this
we've mentioned
essential.
It.
This is essential. Harry Potter.
I'm sorry.
Okay, wait. Harry Potter has a lightning bolt. Harry Potter has a lightning bolt-shaped scar on his forehead.
He has a scar on his forehead. Looks like a lightning bolt.
Looks like a lightning bolt. From when he defeated the Dark Lord, Lord Snaky Face.
Lord Snaky Face.
He who must not be named.
Yep.
When he was only 1 year old, Lord Snaky Face came to kill him, and he was not able to. And it
yeah.
ended the reign of Lord Snakepuss, and ushered in a time of freedom for the whole wizarding community, which is why Harry is the hero. He's the boy who lived. And it is great.
Yeah.
Yay.
So, he has a lightning bolt-shaped scar on his forehead.
Yep.
So, lightning bolt-shaped scar on his forehead is walking around Hogwarts.
Doing Hogwarty things.
Doing Hogwarty things. They're taking care of their blast-ended scroots.
Right.
Which are getting bigger and creepier and grosser.
Right.
Running and more dangerous.
And they're, like, killing each other a lot.
Yeah, they're killing each other a lot.
They still don't know what they eat, I don't think.
I don't think they do. I think it says something about how, like, the only thing that they can figure out that they eat is, like... other blast-ended scroots,
because
they just keep killing each other.
Yep. I think this is when the Rita Skeeter article comes out about Hermione.
I think so.
Who the two-timing...
Yeah.
The two-timing was Muggleborn.
Yeah.
Because, as you may remember, Rita Skeeter had previously written an article, I think we covered this, about how Harry and Hermione were romantically linked. Which was
yeah.
not true, but it made for good press.
Did.
But now, an article comes out where Rita's... And so Hermione is being pursued by Victor Krum.
Mm-hmm.
Ron is not okay with this, but they're sort of vaguely tolerating each other's presence for now. But so Rita Skeeter comes out with an article in the Daily Prophet that says, Hermione Granger is toying with Harry's affections by also pursuing famous Bulgarian seeker Victor Krum.
Dun dun dun.
Mm-hmm. Who has invited her to come stay with him in Bulgaria that summer.
Yeah.
And has never felt this way about any other girl, I believe, as he also is
oh.
quoted as saying.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think they're getting serious with 14 year olds.
Yeah, right? But I mean, okay, she's 14, he's 17.
And I can see,
like, you know...
Remembering my 14-year-old self.
Right?
if, like, I'm trying to not make my parents nervous right now, but, like, if there was, like, a 17-year-old, I know. But, like, I can see, like, making, like, these wistful plans, like, I'll come visit you in the summer. Sure. And we'll do, you know, like, but they're not actually real.
Right.
But, I don't know.
Well, and he invites her to visit, and when Ron finds out, because she reads the article out loud, and Ron's like, he invited you to visit, and she's like, well, it's never made clear if Hermione accepted the invitation.
Yeah.
But she's like, how could Rita Skeeter have known? He asked me when he pulled me from the lake, and Rita Skeeter's been banned from the premises, like, because she's a lying snake.
Not to be confused with the word snakey face.
That's true. Can't use snakes as metaphors.
Yeah.
She's a lying bad thing.
I thought you were going to say badger, and I was like, what?
No.
And I was like, that's a Hufflepuff.
Badgers forever. Badgers are great. No, so Hermione's like, how? So again, Hermione is like revitalized in her pursuit of how is Rita Skeeter getting these interviews with people and finding out things that she shouldn't be finding out. This is the point at which Ron says maybe she's like bugged Hogwarts. Or who says that?
I don't remember.
It must be Harry.
I think it's Harry.
Like maybe she bugged Hogwarts.
Because maybe we don't know this yet. It's not that. But Harry sees...
Did you just read my mind?
Sees Draco.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So he sees Draco, like, talking to his hands, and he was like, well, clearly she has, like, a walkie-talkie or something that, like, Draco is probably doing this or something.
And Harry's explaining to Ron, like, how bugging works, like, how you could spy on people with little electronic devices. And Hermione says, oh, for goodness sake, aren't the two of you ever going to read Hogwarts A History?
Does Ron say, like...
Why would we have to when you summarize it perfectly
like,
for us?
Why would we have to when you're around?
Which and
is kind of adorable.
Yeah. And he can just keep her around permanently.
Aww. Mm.
So yeah, she says electronic devices can't work in or around Hogwarts because of the magical interference in the air. Which is why I get really upset when people on the internet are like, someday Muggleborns will have Wi-Fi at Hogwarts. I'm like, no, they won't. It is in the books that you can't.
Which I feel like, no. I wonder if J.K. Rowling was, like, getting those questions, and then she was like, doesn't work. Magical interference, sure.
None of that.
Also, in a sad event, I believe, Hermione starts getting hate mail.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And, like, gets a boobotober puss.
Yeah, undiluted.
Undiluted. Boobotober puss. Like, so she's all gross.
She's bringing on boils.
And then there's something with Mrs. Weasley. And I don't remember, like...
I think she sends, like, Easter baskets or something.
Yeah, and there's, and like Hermione doesn't get, like,
yeah,
anything.
There's, like, tons of chocolate for Ron and Harry. And then, like, a single chocolate egg for Hermione.
Yeah.
And Hermione looks at it and is like, And you can see that she's putting the pieces together. And Harry and Ron are being Harry and Ron and are totally oblivious.
Yeah. Because they're Harry and Ron. And right. So Hermione's like, for goodness sake, like, she should know I'm not interested in Harry and, like, I'm not actually doing this. And she should know that Rita Skeeter's dumb.
Right. It's only later that, at some point they run, I think the Weasleys show up for the final task. And Mrs. Weasley is very cold to Hermione.
And Harry says, like,
do you read Rita Skeeter? Because Hermione's not my girlfriend. And Molly's like, Oh, that had nothing to do with it, but she was much nicer to her after that. And I'm like,
ugh. Which on the one side, I'm like, Molly, get it together. But on the other side, I'd be like, she's just super, like, motherly towards Harry, which I think Harry needs.
He does. He doesn't have a mother figure in his life.
Right.
So, so all that's going on.
Yep.
And that's sad. But... Harry, so while Hermione is fending off curses by mail, Harry gets a letter from his godfather, Sirius. It says, hi, I'm in the area. The next time you can go to Hogsmeade, let me know, and bring food.
Yeah.
Lots of food.
And so Harry's like, well, this is bad, because, like, Sirius is in the area, he could very easily be,
Captured.
And arrested. And Harry starts feeling personally guilty about it, which is a very Harry thing. But he's, like, talking about how it's his fault and how he should have never told Sirius about that, like, his scar hurting or anything, or, like, any of this stuff, because now it's gonna be, like, he's gonna come and get caught, it's gonna be all Harry's fault.
Mm. Drama, drama, drama.
I know.
It's kind of, I mean, you know, Sirius is an adult. He can make his own choices. I know. If he wants to get himself in trouble for his godson, that is a choice his godson needs to let him make, Carrie.
I know, but Harry did, like, Harry? But if Harry hadn't reached out, then he wouldn't be there in harm's way.
But if Harry were in harm's way and he hadn't reached out, that would just break Sirius's heart.
That's true.
Because you know how much Sirius cares about him.
I like you, Harry.
Thank you too, Harry.
Big dork. I'll keep that in mind. Yeah, so are we just going to Hogsmeade?
Yeah,
we're going to go to Hogsmeade. So they're there, and they're hanging out somewhere, and
they meet Padfoot.
And they meet Padfoot. There's this big black dog, and they're like, hey, hey, hey.
We know you.
We know you. And I think he, like, doesn't he jump up on Harry and, like,
I think so.
Hug him?
Yeah, and, like, lick his face, and then he leads them up into the mountains.
And then I feel like Hermione's like, you're a dog. Well, can you be less human right now, you dunce? And then they go up into, like, the mountain area, or, like, there's a mountain. Caves. And they squeeze in, and then Sirius forms into
Why don't they just hide in the Shrieking Shack?
Maybe it's gotten more like, well, I don't know.
J.K. Rowling, question.
Quick question, why aren't they just in the Shrieking Shack?
Maybe you would notice them going in and out, I guess? Maybe. I guess maybe Buckbeak needs space to, like, run around.
Buckbeak would need space, and then, like, I don't know how you get Buckbeak in there, and, like, Snape knows about it.
Oh, right, yeah, you can't go in the Shrieking Shack anymore because of Snape. Freaking Snape.
Freaking Severus Snape.
Snape.
I wish I knew his middle name.
Severus, well, it's probably with an S.
Probably.
Severus.
And it's like, sounds like severe and sinister.
I was just thinking sinister.
Or it could be something really goofy, like Sylvester.
Sirius Sylvester Snape. Like, I could see him getting named for, like, a muggle uncle.
Totally.
You know?
And then he's, like, super,
and then he,
like,
hates it.
Yeah, and he's super secretive about what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of alliteration happening right now.
It really, super secretive. Mm-hmm. Super secretive Severus Sylvester Snape.
Sneaks south.
Yep.
We're gonna end that there. Okay, so they're in a cave. Sirius becomes Sirius. And Buckbeak's there, and there's, like, a bunch of, like, chicken bones and stuff.
Yeah.
And Sirius has been saying that he's been, like, sneaking food from, like, garbage cans, I think.
Or, like, from kitchens.
And, like, from kitchens and stuff as
the
dog.
I think he begs a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think he's kind of a cute dog.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think he begs on, like, the townspeople of Hogsmeade, mm-hmm. like, kind of like him.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, hey, buddy.
Well, I mean, if you could be a dog, you would, like, know how to be the cutest dog.
Yeah.
Right?
You would totally do, like, the head tilt, ears up thing.
Oh, yeah.
And just get everything you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, you stole a pie. Oh, but you're so cute.
You're so cute.
I'm gonna take a video of that and put it on my Snapchat. Guys, look at this adorable black dog.
This adorable black dog.
Because nobody knows that he's an animagus, so it's totally safe for him to go around as a black dog.
Right.
Although Hermione is like, this is unsafe. And Harry's like, this is a little unsafe. And Ron is like, I wish I could be a big black dog and run around.
Ron has, like, no sense of danger.
Ron. Unless it's physical danger to himself involving, like, spiders.
Right. That's why he's a Gryffindor, because mm-hmm. he just doesn't, he has no sense of what's
foolhardy.
He's so foolhardy. Which, I feel like totally makes sense for the twins, too. And
yep.
Ginny.
Yep. Oh, Ginny. I mean, Ginny is just brave.
She is.
She's so great. We haven't gotten to see how great Ginny is. That comes later.
I know. Which, it makes me happy because I feel... We'll get to it then. But I like Ginny. I like book Ginny. I don't like movie
Ginny. Movie Ginny is all like, oh, Harry Potter, bat my eyes, blah, blah, blah.
Book Ginny.
Book Ginny
rocks.
Kicks some ass.
Yeah.
Book Ginny will get you with her bat bogey hex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, book 5 Ginny, or movie 5 Ginny, when she casts the spell in the... magic.
Mm-hmm.
And all the walls go crashing. That's pretty cool.
That is.
There's like a moment where she's like super
But
powerful,
at that but... time, I'm always like, do you know how long it took to probably collect all those and like, organize them all? And now you just like toppled off all the shelves. Like, they lost a lot. They lost a lot that day. And there's some librarian that is super pissed when they get to work in the morning. I'm just saying.
That's fair.
Anyway.
So, I think they just sort of recap for Sirius what's been going on.
Yeah.
And, including that, like, that Harry saw Barty Crouch on the Marauders map.
Yep.
That Mad-Eye Moody now has the map, and Sirius is like, I don't know Mad-Eye Moody personally, but if Dumbledore trusts him, you can trust him. That Snape is a jerk. I think Sirius probably tells them some jokes, like, some stories about Snape at school.
I think so.
Because you start getting that, like, you start understanding that Snape and Sirius and Harry and Lupin were all at school together. And there's some tensions.
Yes. Does Sirius warn about Karkaroff?
Oh, I think so.
I wonder if that happens.
Yeah, because, right, because Sirius was in Azkaban, and he's like, I never met Karkaroff.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people in Azkaban don't like him because he turned a bunch of people in order to either eliminate or lighten his sentence.
I want to say eliminate.
Yeah, so he's a Death Eater. And Harry was like, or at least was affiliated with them. And Harry's like, yeah, he showed Snape something on his arm. And Sirius is like, something on his arm? Meh. I don't know what that is. But be careful.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, yeah. Because, you know, Mad-Eye Moody's running around going, like, constant vigilance all the time. And Harry's like, I'm trying to be careful, but somebody put my name in the freaking Goblet of Fire. And
yeah.
I have to, like, live with that.
And I'm also, like, in school.
And I'm also Harry freaking Potter.
Yeah. So, then there, I think Sirius is like, I'll just hang out here, and, this is fun.
I think this is when he tells them, if you talk about me amongst yourselves, call me Snuffles.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is when he finally institutes the name.
Which is good, because.
Yeah, because up until then, just sitting around talking about Sirius Black.
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
Not the best move. So then I think they head out, go back to Hogwarts.
Yep.
Do their Hogwarts thing.
Yep.
Have we talked about SPW?
Not recently.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about it.
So, I'm trying to remember. So, they've gone to the kitchens?
Yep, they've gone to the kitchens.
Okay.
They've seen Dobby and Winky.
Right, and then have we explained how Hermione is leaving hats and things around?
No, we have not yet talked about that.
Okay, so, Hermione starts knitting these terrible hats and socks.
So terrible.
They look awful. They're, like, the worst thing
ever. As someone who's tried to teach herself how to knit and crochet, it is very easy to make a very ugly hat.
Yeah. My mom knits, like, a mad woman.
Aww.
She's awesome. Yeah.
Really, like, good knitting people are awesome. I follow a cool, like, knitting blog on Instagram where they, like, knit things and then attach them to things in nature. Like, or, like, stop sign posts.
Yeah.
Like, they knit bomb.
Yep.
And then they post pictures of what they've knit bombed recently. They did, like, a little fuzzy one that, like, they put eyes on so it looks like a little caterpillar and did it around a bike rack at a school. And I was like, that is the cutest thing ever.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, Hermione starts knitting.
Terrible.
And she starts leaving these hats underneath, like, piles of paper and, like, broken quills and stuff. And so she's
the logic being.
Yeah. The logic being that when a house elf is given clothes, they become free.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the house elves come into the common room and clean up the paper and broken quills and things, they will inadvertently grab a piece of clothing and be freed. And
then they're freed, they will realize how great freedom is, and they will all want to be free like Dobby.
Right. Which I think Ron is like, they like their lives. Like, why are you doing this to them?
I think this is just, like, a great example of, like, white privilege gone wrong.
Yes. So, Hermione's like, dealing with white guilt, and
yes, that's what she's got. Overcorrecting for white guilt.
Yeah. And so, she does that, and then, I'm just gonna skip to when they see, so.
I think that's what happens,
I think that's what happens. So, she's doing this for a while. And then they see Dobby. I think Dobby, like, comes to the common room at some point, or they see him somewhere, and he's wearing, like, 20 of these hats and, like, all of these socks. And Hermione's like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, no house elves will clean the Gryffindor common room anymore because you keep leaving clothes around. So I clean it myself, and I just take Dobby's doing all the work, which makes Hermione feel terrible.
I think she stops doing it then.
Yeah, because then she stopped because Dobby's had to clean the entire place by himself.
Yep. So, this is when Hermione starts to run out of energy for SPEW, which is good.
Yep. Which is good.
Because it's never going anywhere.
Yeah.
I think that's it. They keep classes and
yep.
There's no Quidditch. But then, I don't remember exactly when, but shortly after the article is published, I think about Hermione and Harry and Crumb, is when Crumb approaches Harry and is like, take a walk with me.
Oh, yeah. Also, did we explain when, I think we may have, I don't remember, but I know we alluded to it at least, that, I think it's after the Yule Ball?
Mm-hmm.
Ron, or they find the little Victor Crumb piece that Ron got at the World Cup, the Quidditch World Cup, and it, like, it's this little Crumb that can, like, walk around and stuff, and they find it with a broken arm.
Yeah, Harry finds, a broken arm, like, he finds Crumb with an arm missing, and later on he finds a little arm that looks like it has an orange Bulgarian sleeve. He finds the missing arm of Victor Crumb.
Yeah.
So, you know, Ron's dealing with that in his own way. Which is not very productive, oddly. But so, Crumb, like, apparently gets wind of this article in Okay, can I say a thing about Crumb and Hermione?
Yeah.
So the article says, Crumb says he's never felt this way about any other girl.
Yep.
And in the movie, you're led to believe, like, Hermione's given this line where she says, Victor and I don't talk, or we don't talk, we don't talk about the tournament, we don't really talk at all. Victor's much more of a physical being. Which you're supposed to get this sense of, like, she's, you know. That does not happen in the book at all. Like, nope. He totally treats her with respect.
Yep.
And there's never, there's never a suggestion that she dislikes his affections.
Mm-hmm.
Or that there's, like, physical contact going on that she doesn't want. And that in line pisses me off in the movie, where I'm just like, can we not make the jock the, like, oh, all he wants is Emma Watson's body.
Yeah.
Which I understand. On a logical level. But
he's always really respectful.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
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 And I feel like we should respect that. But anyway, so he's like, he, I don't remember exactly under what context, but he approaches Harry and he's like, go for a walk with me. Like, privately. And Harry's like, Sirius told me to be careful of Karkaroff, and you're Karkaroff's private student, and okay.
And we're like in the tournament together, and...
It seems But I'm Harry Potter, and I'm foolhardy.
But I'm a Gryffindor, so let's go for it.
And so they go out for a walk, and they, like, end up by some trees, like, near the Forbidden Forest, and Victor turns on him and is like, so, what is going on between you and Hermione?
Hermione.
And Harry's like, oh, no, nothing, we're friends.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, the article said, and he's like, no, we're just friends. We're really just friends.
Yeah.
Rita Skeeter's making things up. And Victor's face visibly relaxes, which I'm like, that's so cute. Mm-hmm. Like, he was intimidated by the fact that he'd have to stand up again. Like, they're both intimidated by each other.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Harry's like, oh my gosh, you're this amazing seeker, and you're, like, world famous, and you're, you know, significantly larger than me and smarter because you're older.
Yep.
And Victor Crumb is like, wow, you're the boy who lived. Like, everyone knows you. I don't want to have to compete with you for a girl's affections. So they have this sweet little sort of bonding moment where they both realize that they don't have to compete with each other, at least on that level. They're still competing in the tournament, and before Victor can say more, there's a crashing in the bushes behind them.
Yes.
And?
I don't remember, so we need to continue.
Barty Crouch Sr., the what is his role at the Ministry of Magic?
I don't remember!
Okay, Barty Crouch! Ministry of Magic official.
Yeah.
Guy who sacked Winky at the beginning of this book.
Percy Weasley's boss.
Stumbles out of the woods. And he is disheveled. He looks like he's been living in a cardboard box. His hair is all unkempt. He's unshaven. He's wearing a business suit, but it just looks like he's been sleeping in it for days. He just looks a complete mess.
Which is not Barty Crouch.
No, Barty Crouch is like straight down the line. Vernon Dursley would love him, like, very proper. Very good at just, like, appearing totally nondescript.
Yep.
I think he works for the Aurors, because he hates dark wizards.
Yeah, but isn't he...
He's the head of the Department of Magical Law Enforcement. My trusty,
way to just remember
trusty
that.
Evan Wikipedia has now informed me.
Yes.
You're welcome.
We have a guest presenter in with us, and that is Evan, who is playing Pokemon, but adding commentary via his phone. Thanks, Evan.
You're welcome.
So, Bartimus Crouch.
Yeah.
has appeared. And again, this is a guy who's been missing a lot of, like, the tournament and has been sending things in by letter and having Percy do a lot of his work in this sort of, like, weird... And so now we know why, because he looks freaking crazy. And he's talking out loud. I think when they first encounter him, he's, like, in his sort of, like, weird headspace where he's talking about his son. And he's like, yes, yes, thank you very much. Yes, these are the this is the paperwork I needed. Yes, we did just... Yes, my son did get 12 owls. Very satisfactory. Yes, I'm very proud of him. Yes, yes, please get me the rest of that paperwork. Yes, had very, you know, like he's doing all of his work stuff and sounding very professional and sort of distant fatherly.
Yeah. I forgot how to explain that whole thing.
Yeah, we're going to have to explain. Yeah, long monologue. Okay, we're going to get through this. Okay. And so Harry's like, Mr. Crouch? And, He like comes out of his reverie and recognizes Harry and like grabs onto him and is like, I need to see Dumbledore. I've made a horrible mistake. And it seems like he's fighting some sort of psychosis or grip on him almost. And Crumb is like, what is going on? And Harry's like, this is Barty Crouch. He's the head of the Department of Magical Law Enforcement. And Crumb is like, this is one of your ministry officials? And Harry's like, yes, okay, I have to go get Dumbledore. Like, you stay here with him. And Crumb's like, okay.
Right.
I don't really feel good about that. I don't know why they don't do it the other way, but that's the way they do it. Harry's like, I'll go get Dumbledore. I think because Harry knows the password.
Well, Harry would know where Dumbledore's office is.
Yes.
And
right.
Could guess at the password, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't really think that one through, does he?
Yeah, no.
Maybe Crumb can't go into the castle unattended. Maybe he can only go into certain parts of the castle.
Oh.
You know? Like how boys can't go in the girls' dormitories.
Right.
I don't think we learned that till like book 7.
No, but girls kill the boys.
Exactly. Girls are more trustworthy. So Harry's like, I will get Dumbledore, and
yeah.
Crouch keeps going in and out of his like reverie versus like crazy psychosis.
Yeah.
So Harry runs off to find Dumbledore.
I think Harry gets to Dumbledore's office. And I want to say he's, like, trying different things for the password, and then, like, and then Dumbledore's on his way out, or
he knows that the password is something to do with candy. He's been sent up there before and heard,
it's always
Dumbledore
candy.
Use, like, sherbet lemon or something.
Fizzing Whizbees.
Yes, and so he just starts shouting things.
Yeah.
And I think he kicks the statue and shouts, cockroach cluster, and the steps appear. And he's like, really? I was joking. But okay.
But
so
right.
He runs up the stairs and gets to the lot, and he can hear that there's professors inside discussing something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what they're talking about. But basically he eavesdrops for a bit, but then he hears, do you remember?
I feel like
it's important.
I feel like it is important. Because then isn't Mad Eye Moody like,
Yeah, then Mad Eye Moody is like,
this is no longer a confidential
discussion
or something.
Like, Potter would like a... Well, I think that's the movie line.
Oh, yeah.
And the
book line
is just
like,
Potter would like a word... I think Dumbledore's... Moody says something about, like, ending the conversation, and Dumbledore says, yes, it's late. And Moody says, no, it's that Potter would like a word with you. He's standing outside the door.
Yeah.
Because remember, his eye can see through stuff.
But
that's why. Wow. So Harry comes in and is like, Barty Crouch, going crazy, on the grounds. And Dumbledore's like, we should go.
Yeah.
And they all hurry off.
And then they get back to
where they were.
Where Crumb was. And Crumb is...
stunned.
Stunned, yeah. He's, like, laying on the ground unconscious. And Barty Crouch Sr. is nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm. Karkaroff appears.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Karkaroff is there and gets...
Yeah, like, loses his cool... Oh, maybe Karkaroff was with... Maybe they were all...
Karkaroff was there, like...
Maybe Karkaroff and Madame Maxine were all having a conversation about safety. Who knows?
I don't know.
Karkaroff appears and is like, you, someone attacked my student. Like, they wake up Crumb, and Crumb is like, I was attacked from behind by Barty Crouch. And Karkaroff completely loses his cool and is like, you're trying to attack my students. You, Dumbledore, you're lying, terrible person. You snuck a second student into the tournament, and now this, and like,
yep.
you're a big scalawag. That's what he says.
It's Galloway.
Galloway.
Okay. Yeah. And then, I don't know what happens.
I don't remember either. I mean, there's just this sort of like, well, crap, where did Barty Crouch go?
I feel like...
And they're like...
I think, doesn't Mad-Eye Moody go running into the forest to
Mad-Eye
find him?
Yeah, Mad-Eye goes to find him. Because Mad-Eye, you know, like, is always afraid of attacks and stuff, and he's the former Auror,
yeah. And he's gonna run in there.
Yep. That's Mad-Eye Moody for you.
Right.
No one else would do it.
No one else.
Nope.
Only Mad-Eye Moody.
That's it.
And Mad-Eye Moody would have no other motivations of going after Barnabas Crouch Sr.
Correct. Mad-Eye Moody, he wants to find him because he says very clearly, you know, the one thing he hates the most is a Death Eater who walks free.
Yeah.
So any chance that someone's attacking good people like Barnabas Crouch, Mad-Eye Moody is on it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. In our tone.
So I think they just send Harry off.
Yeah, I feel like Crumb probably goes to the hospital wing or something.
Yeah.
And then Harry's just like, catch you guys later.
Mm-hmm. Recounts it with Hermione and Ron, and they're like, brr.
Yeah. So,
I think we just get to the third task. I think
we just go to the third task.
Do it.
The third task happens. And they find, do they find out what it is in May?
Yeah, they go down to the Quidditch pitch and see what it is.
Oh, right, so the champions are called down to the Quidditch pitch, which has been completely transformed, mm-hmm. And now, instead of having anything to do with Quidditch, it's now, hedges have been built, and they're, and they're, giant, and they're making a maze. So they're told, like, hey, you're gonna have to get through this maze, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. So then the third task comes.
Right. And the maze will have, like, not just a maze, but also magical creatures that they have inside to deal with, and, like, puzzles and traps and all sorts of thingies.
Right. Much like if you were hiding a sorcerer's stone, say, in a castle, mm-hmm. you would go through many different
right.
tasks.
Dumbledore, you're not really that creative, are you?
Ew. So, then it gets to be the third task, and, like, everyone has come out for it. Like, the Weasleys show mm-hmm. up, like, the entire Weasley family shows mm-hmm. up to support Harry, Cedric Diggory's dad is there, the entire school, well, all three schools,
mm-hmm.
Bunch of people from the ministry, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not Barty Crouch.
Not Barty Crouch. Yeah. All the professors.
Before the third task.
I was going to say, I feel like we're missing some. Oh,
did you remember what I just remembered?
I think so.
Let's find out. One day in history of magic, Harry starts getting lightheaded, I think, and is complaining about his head hurting.
Oh.
But anyway, the important thing is that suddenly Hermione is up by one of the open windows and slams her hand over something.
Yep.
And everybody looks at her, including Ghost Professor Binns, and she's like, hey, don't mind me.
Don't worry about it.
And everybody's like, all right, that was weird. And that's what happens.
That's what happens.
You'll find out more later.
I want to say, like, the classroom was really warm or something, and they mm-hmm. were all really sleepy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that happened.
That's why the windows
also,
were open.
Also, did the princess thing happen, or is that just in the movie?
Mmm. Does that happen?
I feel like it has to happen in the book.
Right, when does it happen? Does it happen...
It has to be before the third task.
Yeah, you're right. Does it happen after they find... After they can't find Barty Crouch?
That's what I'm wondering.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. Fine. I want to say it's after, but it could be before.
Mm-mm.
It's after?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... I don't remember why Harry is there, though. Oh! Is it... Nope, that might be a movie.
Try me, what is it?
So, well, it's when they're meeting... And then, like, Dumbledore's like, hey,
maybe,
like, Mad-Eye Moody's like, Harry Potter would like a word with you, and then Dumbledore's like, I'll escort you guys out, and that's what happens in the movie.
Alright, well, sometime before the third task.
And after Barty Crouch is attacked, we're fairly sure.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter is in Dumbledore's office for some mm-hmm. reason, and finds this, old cabinet, I believe,
mm-hmm.
that's
he just
like,
goes poking around.
Yeah. Because there's a bunch of cool stuff
mm-hmm.
in Dumbledore's office.
Mm-hmm.
You're in there alone. Why is right. poke around? And sees this cabinet that's like has a weird light coming from it, I think, is mm-hmm. what gets him. So then he opens it up, and there's this weird. And all of a sudden, he just has a falling sensation, I want to say.
Like, I think he just leans over
in the
to
book,
see.
He
like
leans over to see. Yeah, mm-hmm. to see what it is, and then all of a sudden, it's like falling.
Yep.
And he falls into a memory.
Well, he doesn't realize that, right?
No, when but he, that's
when
what
he
it
first
is.
Like, yeah. But when he first wakes up into whatever he's fallen into, he's sitting next to Dumbledore in some sort of courtroom, and he's like, "Professor Dumbledore, I'm sorry, I leaned into the bowl in your office and I just fell here." And Dumbledore completely ignores him.
Just,
and after a while, Harry realizes he's fallen into the past, a memory, sort of like with Tom Riddle.
Yeah.
But hopefully not deathly.
Yeah. So it's this memory, and they're at the Ministry of Magic, and there's a trial going on,
mm-hmm.
and it's Karkaroff
mm-hmm.
on trial, so Barty Crouch Sr., I believe, is asking him
mm-hmm.
Questions, and Karkaroff is saying, like, I can give you names
yep.
of Death Eaters to reduce or end my sentence.
Yep.
And they're like, okay. And then I think he gives some, well, in the movie, I know he gives some that they're like, yeah, we know about that.
Yeah,
one.
He gives a lot of names that they're like, yep, we know.
Yeah. And does he name Snape in the book?
Yes.
Because in the movie, he's like, Severus Snape. And then Dumbledore's like, Severus Snape through great personal
sacrifice
and endangerment switched him, or it's like switched to our side, like,
yeah.
in that he's totally loyal.
Yep.
Shut up, Karkaroff.
Yeah, and everybody's like, we don't know what your proof is, Dumbledore. And Dumbledore's
yeah.
like,
I'm Dumbledore, just listen to me. And everyone's like, alright. And
enough.
Then Karkaroff's like, wait, I have another name. And then it's like, whatever. Like, it's really dramatic. And then Karkaroff says, Barty Crouch Jr.
I think that might be only the movie.
I feel like it is, but I just
but that's okay.
like, Jr.
It's really effective in the movie.
It is.
And this is... I think in the book it's just, you know, you fade out on Karkaroff trying to give names, and then eventually you see the Lestranges hauled off. Yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah.
You do in the book. Okay. So you see the Lestranges hauled off.
Yep. Do we know who the Lestranges are?
We don't. This is when Harry figures it out.
Oh my gosh!
And this is, you completely miss this in the movie.
Yeah.
So, as you may remember, Neville Longbottom. Is a student who's also in Harry's
Whoa,
class.
This is all explained during that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And,
okay.
I mean, to some extent. So Neville Longbottom is a student in Harry's class, and Harry's witnessing these trials in the past, and this couple is called forward, the Lestranges. I don't remember the man's
name. It's like Rodolfo or something.
Yes, it's totally Rodolfo.
Yeah.
Rodolfo.
It's Rodolfo, it's Bellatrix, and there's a third person there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember who it is, but there's a third person. So,
anyway,
just no third person is
they're
there.
They're polyamorous lover.
Is it?
No.
Okay,
I don't think
not.
So.
Well, maybe might not. I don't know.
Well,
remember.
Because there's a very important difference between Barty Crouch Jr. in the movie and in the book, which
Right.
Because in the book, he insists on his innocence.
Right.
Whereas in the movie, it's pretty fucking creepy.
Right.
All right,
but,
we'll get to that. But I don't
David
know. I think they're tried differently. They're tried separately.
Are they?
I think so.
Okay.
For the same crime.
Wait.
The Lestranges.
And the Lestranges?
Yeah.
Or the Lestranges themselves? Because the Lestranges
no, the Lestranges
as
are
a couple
together.
Are, yeah, tried
they're definitely
together.
Accused of torturing... shoot.
Frank and Alice Longbottom.
Thank you. I knew Alice. I couldn't remember... Frank and Alice Longbottom.
Oh, it's just
and
so
Harry's like, and so they the Lestranges apparently strike them with the you say it better than I do.
Cruciatus
curse, to the point at which they go insane and are in St. Mungo's. It would seem indefinitely.
Yeah, St. Mungo's Hospital for the magical maladies.
Yes,
something like that.
Yep.
So they've completely lost their minds
yeah.
because they were tortured so severely.
Right, with the curse that makes you feel like you're being stabbed with knives.
Cruciatus curse.
That puzzle piece kind of gets fit in, and Harry will make the direct connection more later, but essentially what we get out of that is that the reason that Neville Longbottom is raised by his grandmother is because his parents have been tortured into insanity.
Yeah.
We get further into this in other books. Completely gets missed in the movies. It's this really sad...
And explains... Why Neville is the way he is.
Yeah. And why he reacted so poorly to the Cruciatus curse
yep.
when it was performed in Mad-Eye Moody's class. And, I mean, like, the book just... You completely miss so many great things about Neville in the movie. I mean, Neville really comes off awesomely in the later movies.
Yeah.
But you miss kind of, like, how potentially what he could have been.
They miss, like, my favorite Neville line ever, too.
Which
so.
Is?
I'm gonna forget it. But Draco says something about, like, you're nothing or something. And he's like, I'm...
Yeah, Harry tells him he's worth 12 of Malfoy. Yes!
And then Draco says something bad, and he's like, I'm worth 12 of you, Draco. And I'm like, I love you, Neville, so much! It's
so beautiful.
I love him. It's top 20.
I have stopped counting after your top 10. I know. 10. I think you're at top 15 now. I think you have 5 more slots.
Shoot.
Yep. Okay. So, we hear about that trial, but then when we fade to the next trial, it's the same case, sort of like someone else has tortured Frank and Alice Longbottom, and it is Barty Crouch Jr. Difference between the movie and the book.
Yep.
Barty Crouch Jr. in the movie is, like, clearly insane and very vicious. David Tennant does this very well. He does this creepy tongue-flicking thing.
Yep.
That's, like, traditional movie trope for someone who's totally evil.
Right.
Whereas in the book, he's, like, screaming to his father. You know what? I think they all get tried together. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure Barty Crouch is the third person, because he's, like, screaming.
The Lestranges are like, mwah, ha, 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 you can't keep us in Azkaban for long.
Yeah. We're evil and awesome.
Yeah, and Barty Crouch Jr. is screaming for his father, like,
yep.
Daddy, it's, like, father, it's me, like, don't you know me, don't you know your own son?
Yeah.
And, It's very tragic. It's much more dramatic in the book. I mean, it's dramatic in the movie in the sort of like, oh my gosh, how did this kid turn out so evil? And in the book, it's like... But in the
book, it's like, yeah.
Was he actually guilty or not?
Kind of thing. Also, I feel like... Well, I know. In the movies, you totally miss that Bellatrix Lestrange is married to anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Which you had to clarify for me. Because I was like, no.
Yeah, they're married.
Yeah.
But not happily.
Right, apparently. Well, I mean, they turn to the dark side.
Right. Are there any happy marriages in the dark side?
The Malfoys?
I don't think they're very happy.
They're just not happy.
There's tension there. I mean, I think they're, you know, they're committed to each other.
Yeah.
And there's that. And I think, like, with some marriage and family counseling, they'll be fine. But they're going to need some marriage and family counseling.
You're going to need some forgiveness, healing, and reconciliation. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
To deal with their evil and suffering?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, good.
I have both those classes tomorrow.
I'm so sorry.
Anyway, so, yeah, you see all that. And then you see, don't you see them put in Azkaban? Like,
yeah, they're sentenced to Azkaban.
Yeah, like, all three of them. So,
I think that's when Dumbledore appears, like, the older version of Dumbledore appears next to Harry and is like, Harry, I think we should return to my office.
Yeah. And then, like, grabs him by the elbow and, yep, like, and
lifts him up.
Which, yeah. I wonder how that works, but...
I don't know. It's Dumbledore. He's awesome. He knows how to work the pen. Dumbledore explains to him, this is a pensieve.
Oh, yeah. And... Ooh, fun facts about pensieve that I learned on Pottermore.
Yes, please.
Okay, so, a pensieve is where you can actually, like, extract your memories out of your mind temple. Mind Palace. And, that's a Sherlock reference. And, okay. I was like, what the
hell are
you
doing? Wait, Sherlock BBC or Sherlock Elementary?
Sherlock BBC.
Alright, fine.
The new one. Cumberbatch one. Shut up, it's good.
No, it's not. It's misogynistic and narrow-minded. And Elementary is much better because it has racial and gender diversity that doesn't hammer home that it's racial and gender diversity. It just exists and it's beautiful.
Okay, I agree with that, but...
No, I'm right.
Sherlock on BBC has awesome texting. I just really wanted to see your reaction to that. Okay, so, where was I going with this? Okay, so, a pensieve is like a bowl where you take your, you can put your memories in and then, like, relive them as a sort of, like, way to...
An objective
point of view and kind of clear your mind, which I don't think it'd really be objective at all. That wouldn't be, very subjective. Yeah.
Unless the pensieve can make them objective, because the pensieve can reach backwards through time and flesh out things that are more objectively observably true.
Maybe.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Because, like, when you go back, like, when Dumbledore goes back, he doesn't go back in himself. Right. He goes outside of himself. So, maybe he
somehow extracts from your conscience.
Anyway, it's awesome. So, fun facts. Normally, you, like, each wizard has their own... Well, not each wizard, but if you own a pensieve, it's, like, yours. Mm-hmm. And you... Like, it's a very personal object, and many wizards are often buried with their pensieves.
Ooh.
Fun fact. Except for the one in the Hogwarts office, which has belonged to every headmaster / headmistress that has ever worked there. And I believe their memories are also stored there, and it was a way of, like, passing on advice to, like, the next person.
So, okay, you know how with, like, the Resurrection Stone... Oh, we haven't
We don't know
yet.
About anything about what that is.
Dang. I have so many questions now about Snape as headmaster, as, you know. Yeah, well.
Well,
right. Book 7.
Save them till
Book 7.
Podcast 24.
Wow.
I'm just guessing, because 4.
What if I move to Madison?
We're going to have to do it via Skype or something. Okay. That whole thing happens.
Right, and then Dumbledore explains to him, and Harry's like, so did Barty Crouch Jr. do it or not? And Dumbledore's like, we never really know for sure.
Yeah.
But, and I think he says that Barty Crouch Jr. died.
Died in prison.
Yeah,
died in
prison.
Azkaban.
Oh, no, Sirius says that. I'm so sorry. Sirius says that.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, Sirius, when they're talking about it, Sirius is Barty Crouch Sr., that he's talking about at the time, is, like, you know, put his own son in Azkaban, and Harry's like, so... Remember the whole conversation?
Yeah.
Because, and because their cells were nearby, and so he would see the parents come and visit, mm-hmm. and the mother, like, one time Barty Crouch Sr. came carrying the mother, and the son died shortly after and was buried.
Yep, and, like, Sirius saw them burying.
Yeah.
Or, like, saw, like, a mini funeral kind of thing happening.
Yeah. So, the son is dead. Son died in Azkaban.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh my gosh. And Sirius is like, honestly, you lose the will to live.
Yeah.
Like when all of your happy memories are taken away.
Yep.
What?
Is it?
Go ahead. Do it.
In a very popular musical.
Great.
Quirrell gets sent to Azkaban. Because, yeah. And so...
He allowed Lord Voldemort to live on the back of his head.
Right. So, instead of, like, dying in the... In the thingy, he's actually just sent to Azkaban.
Okay.
And there's a Dementor that comes. And the Dementor's like... Or he comes up and he's like, hey, when I was sucking all of your happy memories out of your soul, I realized they were all kind of about one person. And, like, they have, like, this, like, really nice, like, conversation. But it's... Quirrell and Voldemort kind of... have a thing in a Harry Potter musical.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, that happens in a lot of Harry Potter things. Is like
I figured.
Queering the characters, because there's not any queer characters in it.
Yeah.
As previously discussed.
Right. But it's just, it's like a really funny, adorable moment.
Anywho's so, Elise. Right. Okay. So it's confirmed that Barty Crouch Sr., really hardcore on the hating of dark wizards.
Sent his own son to prison.
Chapter 20, the third task.
Yeah. So, they get to there, everyone's there.
Except
for Barty Crouch. We're gonna say there's a band playing, because there is in the movie. There's, like, a pep band for some reason.
Sure, I'm making a face, I don't think there's a pep band.
I highly doubt it, but it's just... Anyway.
Right.
So the third task, there's this maze.
Yep.
I don't remember who gives the rules this time, because Barty Crouch isn't there, but...
Cornelius Fudge, maybe?
It's either him or Dumbledore.
Yeah.
One of them is like, hey, you're gonna go in this maze.
Try not to die.
Try not to die. At the end of it is the Triwizard Cup, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yep.
The first person to find it wins.
Yep.
Da 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 da.
I think we know that it's like in the center of the maze.
It's in the center of the maze.
So you can navigate sort of like towards the center.
Yep. Harry and Cedric will start first. They get a little bit of a head
start. Point score.
So. Yep, they get a little bit of a head start. Sure. And then Victor and then Fleur. And then they say, like, if you're in trouble, send up red sparks mm-hmm. with your wand and there'll be teachers and people like patrolling the outside of the maze and they'll come in and get you.
Good memory.
Thanks. There's something else I want to say.
Do they say it's a forking back, or do they just not say anything?
Never?
The Triwizard Cup is a forky back.
Okay. So then, never mind.
It's a surprise.
Oh, okay.
This is something Moody does.
Right, no, I get that, but I didn't know if they were like, hey, it'll bring you back.
Okay. No, it's just the porky.
So, like,
the porkies are, or, the, excuse me, the Triwizard Cup. Fuck. The
Triwizard Way
Cup
to just
is...
give that away! So the Triwizard whoever the cup is in the middle. Also, I believe...
It's like a snitch, though. It has a flesh memory, so it'll identify whoever.
Oh, okay.
We don't know that snitches have flesh memories, but they do.
Okay.
Snitches have flesh memories.
And I think they can choose different places to start in the book.
I think you're
Are
right.
there different entrances that they can go in? I think, yes. That they can start in?
Yeah, they don't all start in the same entrance.
Yeah, so...
In the movie, Mad-Eye Moody gives Harry, like, a hint about which way to go. Doesn't happen in the book.
No.
Harry just goes in.
Yeah. So, he runs in,
I think he and Cedric, like, walk together for a while.
Hermione, this doesn't really matter, but Hermione has taught him some, like, nice charms and, like, tricks, so, like, he has one that will point his wand due north.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I remember for some reason, but point there's, like, me. A couple other ones that, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he knows a charm to protect himself, Protego.
Yep.
And then, of course, he knows some other standard, like, stunning spells, Stupefy, and Expelliarmus for disarming.
Yep.
Lumos
for light.
Right. Because it gets dark in the maze. Although, I don't know if it would be dark. I mean, I guess it would just be shadowy, no matter how you slice it. So, I think he and Cedric walk in together, and then eventually hit a wall, and, like, he chooses to go left, and Cedric chooses to go right, and they're both kind of like, well...
See you later!
I mean, like... I think Cedric says, like, I'm glad it's you, or, like...
Yeah, like, there's kind of, like, a nice...
There's a moment. Where both like, we're hey, like, for Hogwarts!
Yeah, and, like, it's kind of this clear, like, where they're nice to each other, and, like, they're, you know, like, happy, and I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but then, but yet there's still this air of, like, somewhat competition.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, like, we're still gonna compete against each other, but, like, glad it's you, you're a cool dude.
Yeah.
Comrades.
Camaraderie.
Camaraderie is the word I was looking for.
Cheers to them.
Yeah. So, Harry goes a different direction than Cedric. I don't remember what he encounters first. Okay.
First?
I don't remember the order. I remember what he encounters,
I believe he sees a blasted Scrooge at one point. And he's like, oh, hell no.
He was like, well, I don't want to take care of that thing.
He walks through. Yeah, he blasts it. He walks through a patch of fog, which flips him upside down.
Yep.
And then he has to step back out of it.
Yep.
He meets a Sphinx.
Yes!
Tell us about the Sphinx, Carrie.
He meets the Sphinx, and will you find it?
I will.
So, a Sphinx.
What are the Sphinxes? Tell the story.
A Sphinx, as you would know from Egypt, is a lion with the head of a human. This one is a female. And she's, like, prowling, the next opening of the maze, like, she's just, like, and, like, going back and forth and not letting him past, and says that he has to solve a riddle in order to get past her.
Yep.
I think Harry says something about how, like, she was, like, mysterious, but, like, he was like, if I get this wrong, I'm gonna, like, die. Like,
yeah.
Oh, and I think she says, like, if you get it right, I'll let you through, but if... Okay.
Yeah.
Not unless you can, answer on your first guess, I will let you pass. Answer wrongly, and I attack. Remain silent, and I will let you walk away from me unscathed. So Harry has to choose whether to, like, answer this right away, or he can just stay silent and walk away, or he could answer it, but if he gets it wrong, then she's gonna attack him.
Yes.
So...
Can I read the riddle.
So the Sphinx says...
First, think of the person who lives in disguise, who deals in secrets, and tells naught but lies. Next, tell me what's always the last thing to mend, the middle of middle, and end of the end. And finally, give me the sound often heard during the search for a hard-to-find word. Now string them together and answer me this. Which creature would you be unwilling to kiss? Which, can we just appreciate for a second that Rowling writes this well enough that it, like, actually has a good rhythm. Like, a lot of riddles end up being sort of clumsy and having, you know, like, iambic pentameter sort of forced on them, and this actually works very well.
That one actually does work very well, although I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm sorry.
Why are you not a huge fan of it?
Just the putting of it together, I don't know. I just, like, I read that, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be something awesome, then I read the answer, and I was like, that was lame.
Oh, I figured out what it was.
Like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, I like, reading through it, I was like, oh... And I was like, well, that was kind of, I don't know.
All right, fair enough.
There's just something, like, anticlimactic when you get to the answer.
I think the problem is, Carrie, that you're too clever. Because Harry has some trouble with this.
That's true.
And so Harry paces around for a bit and says, like, okay, a person in disguise, that would be, like a masked person or, like a costumed...
Yeah.
A disguise.
Isn't she, like, randomly hissing at him, too, like, when he's talking?
I think so.
Maybe not.
No. Never mind. Oh, okay. And yeah. So then, he keeps pacing around and going, is the last part? Because you said it's a word that I use during the search for a hard to find word. And she's like, I'm just going to smile at you like a mysterious sphinx.
Yeah.
What walks on two legs in the morning? And, so he figures out that the word is, that the person who deals in secrets and tells not but lies is a spy.
Yep.
The middle of middle and the end of the end is D. And a word that's used during, the sound that's heard during a search for a hard-to-find word is er.
Yep.
So the creature he's unwilling to kiss is a spider. And she lets it pass.
She's like, alright, catch you later.
Then he hears yells.
Yep.
And he sees Crumb using, I think,
I want to say the Cruciatus
Curse. It is the Cruciatus Curse. Because he reflects on, like, oh my gosh, you can't use that.
Yeah.
Using the Cruciatus Curse on Fleur.
Yeah. Not cool, bro.
In the movie, again, important movie distinction. In the movie, when you see Crumb and he's about to attack Fleur, his eyes, like, glaze over and go milky white, which I think is supposed to be an inference that, like, he's under someone else's control.
Yeah.
You don't get that in the book.
No. Nope.
He just straight up attacks her.
Yeah.
And Harry sees him. I think he and Cedric both do, and they both shout stupefy, or expel, like, they both stop him.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they have a conversation afterwards where they're, like, I thought he was, you know. So Fleur... In the movie, I think also, like, Fleur gets attacked and, like, sucked into a bush.
Yeah.
But she's actually fine. Like, she gets stunned, but she's fine. You know, they, like, they send up red sparks. I think they bind Crumb in some way.
Yeah.
And, like, send up red sparks, and then it's like, all right.
Yeah, because then they kind of have to, like, negotiate, like, well, yeah. Where are we both going to go, like, now? Okay.
So it's down to you and me.
Yeah.
And, but they say, like, I thought Crumb was okay, and they're like, yeah, that was, I can't believe he did that.
Yeah.
So, they both make it to, like, a clearing, I think, in the maze, and there's a giant spider.
Which Harry everywhere. Does not want to kiss.
Do you think Rowling has a
she
thing with spiders?
She has to be, because they are freaking everywhere.
Yeah, like, she's
spiders
afraid of them.
And snakes. And okay. She loves socks.
It's true. Spiders and snakes and socks.
She's got a thing for S's. Severus Snape, Sirius, Professor Sinistra, which we never see.
Right. Hogwarts.
Slytherin.
Yep.
Salazar Slytherin.
Yep. Well, that's just alliterative.
I know,
but that's fine.
There's Albus, still S's.
Dumbledore.
James. Potter.
Ron Bilious Weasley. Do we know Hermione's middle name?
I was just wondering that. For some reason, June comes to my head, but that seems totally wrong.
I would believe that. Maybe. So,
Falling in love.
So wonderful. Yeah, they both he and Cedric attack the spider. I don't remember exactly what happens.
Yeah, I don't
remember. Like, is the spider chasing Cedric and Harry attacks it to, like, save him?
Sure.
There's co-attacking of the giant spider.
Yeah.
We can state that.
Yep. And they win.
Yeah, they win. But then there's this adorable little fight between the two of them where Cedric's like, okay, you like, I think Harry finally is the one who defeats the spider by hitting it on the stomach and saves Cedric from death.
Yep.
Oh, so close!
So close.
Evanipedia has clarified for us that it's Hermione Jean Granger.
Which is very close, I would just like to
yeah,
say.
You did a really great Thank job. You. Well done. which I'm going to assume is a tribute to Jean Grey.
Huh.
Right?
Could be.
I mean... Super powerful, super awesome. Doesn't have the terrifying dark side that Jean Grey has. I should probably not go on an X-Men rant right now. It's not going to help anybody. And anyway,
yeah, so then there's this adorable moment because yeah. Cedric's like, hey, well,
you win.
You
take
win.
Take the cup.
Because, yeah, also the cup is there.
Right.
The spider was in front of the,
yeah.
Was in front of the cup. So then Cedric's like, Harry, you just saved my life. You should take the cup. And Harry's like, if you hadn't told me about the egg.
Yeah, I think so. Well, Harry's like, we both defeated the spider together.
Yeah.
Like, you distracted it, so I was able to get it. And Cedric's like, no, you've been ahead this whole time. You should have, I think he says, like, you should have gotten more points for saving people at the bottom of the lake. You know, I should have done the same thing and been heroic and, like, waited. And Harry's like, no, I was stupid. And, like, so they're having this fight in the middle of the maze of, like, who's more worthy of being the Triwizard champion? Which is just so
Gryffindor and Hufflepuff. Like,
you guys, just make out. I mean, the houses, not Cedric and Harry.
Right.
Although I'm sure there's slash fit for that.
I'm sure there is.
I'm not gonna look.
Please don't.
Evanopedia, we don't need your help.
So, then, I don't remember.
No.
I want to say it's Cedric suggests.
No, Harry, it's Harry,
Harry
does, because Harry feels guilty for that his whole life.
I really wanted Cedric
to
suggest
it's Harry.
It. Okay, well, Harry
Sorry.
Says it was really just, like, false hope. Like, I'm like, I know it's Harry, but I just really wanted to be Cedric.
I totally understand that feeling.
So, okay, so Harry's like, hey, why don't we grab the cup at the same time?
Yep.
So then the couple have a flash memory of both of us.
We'll both win. It's still a victory for Gryffindor.
Hogwarts.
Frickin' A. Them.
Yeah, the entire school. So they, 1, 2, 3, grab onto it.
Yep. It's so cute.
And then immediately, like, yanked up by their navels, I believe,
yep.
is the sensation.
Yep.
And are spinning and land in a spooky place surrounded by... It's a graveyard.
It's a graveyard. It's a cemetery. So Cedric and Harry look at each other and one's like, did you know it was a portkey? And he's like, nope. Is this part of the thing? And they're like, guess so.
They're like, I guess this is part of the maze. Because that's how weird this tournament has been.
Yeah,
so.
And Cedric says, one's out, do you think? And Harry's like, oh, thank goodness you suggested it. I don't feel like such a wuss now.
Like,
yes.
I'm an idiot. Yeah, it's one's out.
And so they get through. They're wandering through this graveyard. And suddenly...
nope.
Suddenly. I think ropes... I don't remember what happens. Do ropes just grab Harry out of nowhere?
Do they see what's on the gravestone, or is that...
I think they do see what's on the gravestone.
Yeah, so then Harry... I don't remember who sees it first. But one of them is, like looking at the gravestones, like, trying to figure out, I think, where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just like, okay, let's, you know, problem solve. Find out where we are.
Oh, these are a lot of really old dates.
That's weird. And then they come across one that is... like Tom Marvolo.
Tom Riddle.
And then.
With a death date of like 60 years prior.
Yep. And then a bunch of other riddles, I think.
Yeah. And Harry's like, oh crap.
Yeah.
And before he can explain to Cedric what he knows about Tom Riddle,
he's bound to the thing with ropes.
Magically, I think.
Yep. And then.
A high, clear voice says,
yes.
Kill the spare. And someone shouts, Avada Kedavra, and Cedric is dead.
Yeah.
This
was completely shocking and, like, heartbreaking.
No one saw
it.
Yeah.
No one saw it.
Everybody was
coming.
Just, like, we did not know Harry Potter was going to get this dark.
Yeah.
I'm sad right now.
Me too.
Because Cedric was a stand-up guy, and, like, it's just not...
Yeah.
Like, he was just... in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's just... I mean...
The only thing getting me through is that it's kind of funny in a Harry Potter musical.
You're a terrible person.
I know. Okay, so here's what happens in a Harry Potter musical. So...
is it that you're a terrible person?
No. So what... the portkey is actually this punch bowl ladle at the Yule Ball. So they get taken to the cemetery, and then Harry's angry at Cedric because he's going out with Cho Chang. And so Harry's like, you're just this extra guy. Like, you're always around. You're like this spare dude. Like, you're just a spare guy. You're such a spare. And then all of a sudden, you just hear, like, kill the spare! And then, like, and then it happens, but it's just like, you're just the spare guy. Kill the spare!
The thing that's getting me through it is that somebody, God bless them, when Twilight was big, intercut, do you know what I'm referencing?
Yep.
Intercut this fantastic YouTube video of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer cut in with lines from Twilight of Edward being like super stalker creepy, and then at the very end they splice together Buffy stabbing someone in the chest and then stabbing a vamp, and then the shot of Cedric essentially taking the place of Edward, dying in the cemetery. And I'm like, that's the only thing that's getting me through this, is that yeah. clip gets to be funny, but it's really sad.
But it's just heartbreaking, because you also think, like, he's a completely innocent guy.
Yeah.
He's totally a stand-up dude.
And he died in, like, the middle third, like, or the last third. Like, it's not yeah. the very end, it's not...
No. It's, like, the beginning of the last 100 pages.
Yeah.
Ish.
There's a lot to go,
And he like, barely gets... Like, he doesn't get to defend himself at all, like, gets no... Yeah. So he's dead.
It's symbolic, too, of... I mean, we discover that it's Voldemort.
Yeah.
Who's there, and it's just symbolic of Voldemort's willingness to kill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just anyone who gets in his way, or anyone who's a spare.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even, like, Cedric wasn't even in the way. Cedric was just there.
Was just there, and so he's like, well, we, like, it's literally like, I don't need him, we'll just kill him.
Yep. Harry gets bound to Tom Riddle Sr.'s gravestone.
Yeah.
Wormtail appears.
Wormtail comes out.
Fucking Peter Pettigrew.
Right.
Remember Peter Pettigrew? Remember freaking rat with a missing finger? Yeah.
He's back. Wow, that...
Okay.
That wasn't planned, and it just happened.
Yep. You go on.
Okay, so he's back. And there's a cauldron there, I believe.
Yes.
Set up, and he's carrying this creepy thing in his arms.
Yeah, a little, like, bundle of something.
Yeah. Ugh. And he, puts that in the
he
cauldron?
He puts other things in the cauldron first.
I wanted, that's what I was thinking.
Because Harry, like, silently prays, do it wrong.
Yeah, like, he's like, mess this up, like, do it wrong, yeah. like, do,
because, he says,
something bad is gonna happen. And he is saying that I remember him looking and seeing the cauldron turn different colors. Like, at one point it's, like, a light blue, and at one point it's, like, a gold, and.
Yeah.
Like a pearly white or something.
Yes, and so... Oh, never mind. Actually, the creature goes in first.
You're okay.
Right. I'm looking at the book, Robert.
Yeah. We're fact-checking.
So yes, the high, cold voice tells Wormtail to put this awful-looking child bundles... it's actually... I think you don't see it in the movie, but it's described in the book.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Wormtail pulled open the robes on the ground, revealing what was inside them, and Harry let out a yell that was strangled in the wad of material blocking his mouth. It was as though Wormtail had flipped over a stone and revealed something slimy, ugly, and blind, but worse, 100 times worse. The thing Wormtail had been carrying had the shape of a crouched human child, except that Harry had never seen anything less like a child. It was hairless and scaly-looking, a dark, raw, reddish-black. Its arms and legs were thin and feeble, and its face, no child alike ever had a face like that, flat and snake-like, with gleaming red eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And so Wormtail drops it in.
And Harry is like, let it drown.
Let it drown.
Just let that thing die.
Oh,
I don't know what it is, but
yeah,
it's super
creepy. It's super
creepy. And I don't like it.
And
I'm starting to panic because I'm just like vamping for you. I'm starting to panic because I'm roped to a grave thing and I have a cloth over my mouth.
Yep.
And Cedric just died and I don't know what's going on.
Yep. And so Wormtail starts casting a spell. And he says, bone of the father unknowingly given, you will renew your son. And so a bone snaps out of the ground at Harry's feet, pulled from Tom Riddle Sr.'s grave, and it drops into the cauldron. Wormtail then says, flesh of the servant, and he's stammering for this one, flesh of the servant willingly given, you will revive your master. And he takes his right hand, the one with the missing finger, and he holds a dagger in his left hand and cuts off his entire right hand into the cauldron.
Yep.
And screams.
Because that's gotta hurt. I mean, come on.
And then Wormtail finishes with, blood of the enemy forcibly taken, you will resurrect your foe. And he stabs Harry, takes some of his blood, and then pours it into the cauldron.
Yeah.
Short version.
And after each step, I think, is when it changes colors.
Yeah, it changes colors.
Not to be like, it changes colors, but I just remember that.
Yeah, you're right. And Harry keeps praying, like, let it drown, let it have gone wrong, let it have drained.
Yeah, like, please let this thing be dead. I don't
want to
deal
with
this.
Lots of steam, creepy, scary, cracking noises, then everything goes white and then black, and then when Harry's finally able to see again, there's a very tall man with a snake-like face getting robed in big black robes. It's fucking Voldemort.
And dramatically the book says, Lord Voldemort has risen again. Chapter 26.
I was just about to say chapter 26.
Really?
That's really freaky.
Super weird. I just, like, got a number out of the air. Because I have no idea what chapter.
Wait,
we're
is
at.
It chapter 26?
If
that
it's
why
chapter
26 that?
Of the book, then I'd feel a little bit better. But
chapter 33.
Oh
okay,
well,
fine. So
apparently we're just
vamping. It's yep. fine.
Okay. So Lord Voldemort's back.
Yeah, good.
That's terrifying.
In super flesh now.
Yep.
No,
like,
no,
he's
not
like,
on the back of somebody's head.
Not on the back of somebody's head. Not a memory.
Diary.
Not a creepy little
bundle. No,
he's like 100%. Full on Ralph Fiennes alive.
No nose.
No nose.
But still. Alive.
Ralph Fiennes.
But still Ralph Fiennes.
I just love Ralph Fiennes.
He is a Fiennes.
I would name a child of mine Ralph if everyone wouldn't call him Ralph.
His name's just Ray, though, isn't it? It's not
no, it's
Rafe. Rafe.
It's spelled like Ralph. It's pronounced Rafe. But everyone thinks it's Ray because
oh.
Ralph Fiennes.
Oh, okay.
Ralph Fiennes.
I believe you.
Oh, it's Ralph Fiennes.
I trust you.
Anyway.
You know why?
Why?
Because you're smart.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. That's right. So.
That's such like a. Sorry, that's like a.
It could have been a really great
you know
lead up.
Because you're smart.
I could have had something much more clever and I didn't.
I liked it. I liked
good.
It as it was. Simple.
Okay. To the
so,
point.
That was good. So Lord Voldemort is back. And
yep.
he, does he use, Wormtail's thingy?
Yep.
So,
he says, Wormtail, give me your arm.
Yep.
And Wormtail cries and hands him his right arm that's, hi, missing a freaking hand.
Missing a freaking hand. And it's like, you'll heal me or do something.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. And Voldemort's like, the other arm, dude.
Yeah.
And Wormtail's like, and then.
Good Wormtail impression.
Thank you. And then holds out his other arm, and there's the dark mark on it,
mm-hmm.
Which is a skull with
mm-hmm.
a snake coming out of it. And so does Voldemort just press his finger to it? Or is his wand?
Oh, I think it's his finger.
Okay. So. Voldemort presses his wand or his finger to it.
I think
it hurts.
Yeah, I think he screams.
Like Wormtail screams out. I don't know why Wormtail's hanging out with this guy, but so
because he's attracted to power.
He is. Freaking, he should have been Slytherin. So, yeah. So then all these people start appearing.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the dark
In
mark
Death Eater masks. Do they have their masks on?
I think they have their masks
okay.
on.
No, I'm sorry, they don't, because Voldemort's able to identify them.
Oh, I thought he just could.
And Harry's able to identify them
later.
Oh,
well then.
Because he names them all off.
He's like, McNair, and whoever, and then he's like,
Crab,
Goyle, Malfoy.
Yeah.
And he's, noting all the people that are missing from the circle, so like, the Lestranges, who are always loyal to me.
Right, and they're serving their terms in Azkaban, they will be freed and highly rewarded.
Right, and then like, other people that are missing that like, he doesn't like anymore.
Right.
Does
he name Severus?
I don't think he names
I don't
Severus,
think so.
But I think there's something that, like, Harry thinks that's Snape's spot. Like, I feel like he doesn't outright name Severus, but there's
yes.
some indication that that would have... Or no! It's the, like, this is where my most loyal servant should be.
Oh, that's right! And he's still at Hogwarts.
Yeah, and
right.
But he's at Hogwarts serving his master,
yes.
and Harry's like, that's freaking Snape.
That's freaking Snape. Snape's a Death Eater, and
yeah.
he's freaking... Double-crossing, hiding
yes.
at Hogwarts.
And Snape has been behind this whole thing. That's why I'm freaking here right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Fucking Snape.
And so, Snape is a bad man.
He's a bad man. And then there's another one that says, this one betrayed me.
Yep.
And then, like, these people suck. And these people are awesome, but they're not here. Whatever. So he's, like,
right.
going around the circle.
Right.
Like, talking to his old friends.
I don't remember what he says about Bertie Crouch. Junior.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's not there.
Okay, so
so I am on board with the
there
things
we
you
go.
Have said.
All right, so it turns out the thing on Karkaroff's arm, who Karkaroff doesn't show up, BT
right.
Dubs. That's kind of significant.
Chicken.
I feel like. So the Death Eaters all have this. I don't know why I'm pointing to my arm because you can't see me.
Yep.
They have this dark mark tattoo on their kind of a tattoo thing on their
yeah.
arm, and when. Dumbledore, wow, Voldemort, can, like, press his finger or his wand or whatever to it, and then all of them are supposed to apparate immediately, and it will, like, bring them to where Voldemort
yeah,
is.
Yeah, exactly.
So, some Death Eaters just don't show up, some are in prison, some are at Hogwarts, some are,
right.
and...
Some show up.
So he's, like, hanging out with all those dudes and talking, and then...
They're all terrified.
They're all freaking out.
Like... Because the ones who have survived, the ones who are not in Azkaban, have survived by lying that they weren't with. So, like, Voldemort's displeased with them because they have not been punished in the same way that he and his servants have been.
Yeah.
And that they didn't go looking for him when he died. He's like, hi.
You guys sent, like, frickin' Wormtail found me. One of you guys probably could have. Yeah,
frickin' Wormtail. That's a dumbass Peter Pettigrew.
Found me. I'm pretty sure that Lucius Malfoy would have found me in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, Lucius is terrified.
Lucius is tweaking out.
Hi. How are you?
I totally was loyal to you. I just thought you had died.
Yeah. What were you supposed to? We didn't, you know, you were dead, sir. And he's like, oh, for Pete's sake, I'm Lord Snaky Face. Yeah. I can do whatever I want. Death can't stop me. La, la, la. And Harry's like, I am screwed.
Harry's like, okay.
So then,
how do I get out of here?
So Voldemort explains that, like, he's never, when he was in Quirrell's body, he discovered he wasn't able to touch Harry. And because, I think Voldemort reveals this.
Yeah.
Because Harry's mother died protecting Harry.
Yep.
Specifically stood between him and Voldemort and would not step aside.
Yeah.
And that dying in such a way put a
mark of love.
Yeah, a mark of love on Harry.
Yeah.
I don't think Voldemort uses the word love.
I think
he just says, like, protected him from my touch.
Yeah, because he, he doesn't understand.
Right. And so that's why I couldn't,
touch him.
Yeah.
But I can touch you now, Harry.
And he, like, touches him and Harry's scar explodes in pain and it's just awful.
It's terrible.
Yeah,
so that, and, like, Voldemort for a while, I think this is in the book, too, like, kind of forgets that Harry's there. Like,
he's just monologuing.
He's just, like, paling around with his old friends, like, monologuing. He's like, oh, that's right.
No, Harry Potter.
Harry Potter's here. Yeah. I would like to murder him.
Yep.
So then they...
He forces him to duel.
He forces him to duel. So he, I think puts Imperio on him at first. And says, like, you have to bow to me.
Yeah. I don't know, because it... there's no voice in Harry's head that makes him bow. I think, like, he tries to use it and Harry won't. And
yeah.
It's that, like, he feels like a giant hand is forcing him over.
Yeah.
So, like, instead he uses, like, physical force to compel him via spellage.
Because Harry rocks have thrown off the Imperius curse.
Right. Because Lupin taught him. Or not Lupin, because
Mad-Eye
taught him.
Yeah.
Good job.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then says, like, we're going to duel or whatever.
Yeah.
And
you can die like your father died standing up.
Yeah, and it's so heartbreaking.
It's awful.
You can die like your father died. Anyway, he also has, like, created some sort of circle or something, and, like, the Death Eaters are around them, but can't get it. I thought Voldemort set that up.
No, they just, like, gather around. Never mind. They're just, so the Death Eaters are just watching, like, the boy who lived is gonna be the boy who died!
And we're all here, and Voldemort's gonna like us again.
Right? Right? If we cheer really loudly.
If we cheer loudly.
He'll forget that we've just been totally disloyal for the past 14 years. And
he seems like a nice stand-up guy. He's
still totally forgiving.
Yeah.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast Avada Kedavra. Yeah! So Voldemort strike, and Harry's like, I don't know how to freaking duel with the Dark Lord. Like, I know a couple of spells, but I can't cast, it's been discussed that, like, Avada Kedavra, like, you can't cast that unless you actually want to kill somebody.
Right.
And Harry's not sure he can do it.
Right.
And so, I think the first couple times he just, like, dodges Voldemort, like, he rolls behind gravestones.
Yeah, he's just, like, freaking out.
And eventually, I think just has to face him. And they both cast spells at the same time. Right?
Yep.
Voldemort casts Avada Kedavra.
Yep.
Green light. Harry casts Expelliarmus.
Yes. Red light. I'm so glad you remember that.
Yeah, because that's Harry's spell.
I know. But that gets lost in the movies.
I know, because of the Hedwig thing.
And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the Hedwig thing.
Anyway. And then the seventh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at the end.
Yeah, right?
So Harry's, like, known kind of for doing Expelliarmus because it just disarms your opponent.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not really harming anything, but it stops the fight dead.
I think that's... Yeah.
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 So
they both cast spells. at the exact same time, and they meet in the middle. And instead of ricocheting off each other like they have when Harry's battled Malfoy and cast spells at the same time, they, like...
connect.
Yeah.
Weirdly.
And they form this, like, weird splintering spider web.
Yep. Oh, and yeah, and then the web goes out.
The web goes out, surrounds Harry and Voldemort, and picks them up and moves them to another place. And the Death Eaters, like, follow it and are like, Master, Master, what do we do? And Voldemort's like, I don't know! Voldemort's like, I don't know, shut up! Like,
this is weird.
Like, nobody, Harry has no idea what's going on, but no one else seems to either.
Yeah.
And
then beads start forming, mm-hmm. I think.
Yep.
And
yep,
so
yep, yep.
Harry starts concentrating all of his effort into getting these beads that are in the middle right now mm-hmm. into Voldemort's wand.
Yeah.
Like, he just wants
to... Instinctively.
Instinctively, he's just, like, concentrating somehow and, like, pushing them towards
yeah.
Voldemort's wand. Eventually, they all get into Voldemort's wand.
One connects with the tip.
Yeah.
Harry freaking Potter!
So one bead connects with the tip, and then all of a sudden there's, like a yeah. outpouring.
Yeah, I think... Oh, that's just in the movie.
And, and Voldemort's wand starts producing, like, ghost images of the people he has killed.
All of its past spells.
All of its... Oh, okay.
So it starts with, he's given Wormtail a new hand, a new right hand. So a ghostly right hand.
Yes, that's right. So a ghostly right hand comes out.
And then Cedric.
Cedric comes out.
And says something like, hang on, Harry.
Just hang on. Yeah, like, keep going or something. And then Frank comes
yeah.
out, which I like.
Right?
Frank the Muggle from the way beginning, from,
yeah.
like, two podcasts ago.
Yeah, remember him?
Cool old Muggle dude comes
yeah.
out. And I feel like he says something.
He says,
like,
killed me, that one did. You fight him, son.
Yeah.
And I'm like, aw.
And
poor Frank has no idea what's going on.
No,
that's okay.
Idea.
He's still on board.
And then, right? It's the next one.
It's gotta be the next one.
The next one, Lily comes out.
You know what's weird is I think it's actually James first, and then he says,
your mother's coming.
And
yeah.
I know, it
should,
it should be Lily.
So we're gonna pretend it's Lily.
Okay.
Lily comes out, and then...
There's probably a reason that Rowling has one time... Okay, but anyway.
Probably, but...
Harry's parents come out.
Harry's parents come out of the wand, and they're like, hey, buddy!
And Harry's like,
you're amazing! Like, you're
yeah.
doing so good!
They're like, we're so proud of you.
We're so proud of you! And Harry's like, Mom and Dad. And then I think, doesn't Harry, like, want to concentrate and, like, keep them there longer?
Yeah.
And they're like, well...
The connection can only hold for
the
a little
longer. The connection can only hold for so long, and, like, once it's broken, like, bad things could happen. Like,
yeah.
we're gonna stay and try and or they're like, we're gonna...
They can do
something.
I don't know if they're just, like, misty.
They're like,
in
we're gonna,
face.
Like, try and distract Voldemort so you can run.
Yeah.
Like...
Get back to Hogwarts. Go grab the cup. It'll take you back.
Yeah. So then...
Cedric says, take my body to my parents.
Yeah, take my body back. Take my body to my parents. And Harry's like, all right. And then,
I think his parents say,
like, we love you, and, like, it's time or something.
Yeah.
So then Harry breaks the connection. The, like, ghosty things fly at Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
Harry runs to Cedric's body,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Grabs Cedric's body, Accio's the cup.
Yep. And then it's brought back to Hogwarts, and everyone's like, yay!
Right.
Triwizard tournament is over! Like,
right.
we have a champion, and Harry's like, I'm dead, dude!
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of cheering, like, oh, it's Harry! And then they're all like, holy shit, he's holding Cedric's dead body!
and Harry's like, stop cheering!
Yeah.
Death guy! And it's
Voldemort!
And so then, like, people start freaking out because
yeah.
there's, like, a dead kid.
Yep.
And...
Mad-Eye Moody collars him.
Like, collars Harry. He's like, hey, let's go back to my office, like, and talk about this. Like,
yes.
we gotta figure out what happened.
Like,
come
I'll
with
protect
me.
You, kind of thing.
And Harry's like, okay. And, like, Harry's in no state to make decisions
or
put up any kind of
it's
fight.
Moody.
Like, he's like, all right, Moody.
Like, Moody,
yeah.
I need to talk to Moody, the Auror, who, like, has fought
right.
Dark Wizards.
Him
like,
thing.
I'll tell him everything.
And, like, Dumbledore is, like...
Is he dealing with Cedric's...
Parent,
yeah,
father.
Parents. I don't know, is it his mom's probably there too?
Probably.
Like she just takes a smaller role.
Yeah. So everyone's just kind of in chaos, and then Mad-Eye Moody brings Harry back to his
mm-hmm.
office, and Harry sits down and
recounts.
Yeah, and starts to recall the story. And this is different in the book than in the movie, and I feel
like
I'm going to, like, say movie things, so I feel like you should take it from here.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so Harry recounts the story, and Mad-Eye Moody just asks him questions, and then.
Because in the movie, he says, what was the graveyard like?
Right, and it's not
and
that.
And Harry's, yeah.
It's that he, in the book he says, did he forgive them? Did the Dark Lord
forgive
them?
Oh, yes.
And Harry's like, you just called him the Dark Lord. Nobody calls him the Dark Lord except for people who...
Right.
Dun, dun, dun!
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
And I think it's not entirely revealed exactly what's going on. It's just that Mad-Eye Moody turns on him and is going to kill him.
Yeah.
And then the door to Mad-Eye Moody's study blasts open.
That's probably just a movie. But if there's something about, like, I thought that Mad-Eye Moody was like, if I kill him, then, like, I'll be rewarded or something. Like,
I think so. I mean, in the movie, Mad-Eye Moody is like, I'll finish what my master started.
Right.
And he does the tongue flick that Barty Crouch Jr. does.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, bah!
Yeah.
But then but in the book, I think it's just like, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's...
But I feel like he says something like, I want to say something like, if I kill him, then my master will, like, or whatever. So then, and then the door bursts open, and, like, Dumbledore...
McGonagall, top 10.
I want to say Snape.
I think so.
I think Snape's
there. Because Veritaserum.
Right. They burst in, and, like, in the movie, at least, Dumbledore, like, knocks Mad-Eye Moody back, which I want to say happens in the book.
I think they all knock him out.
Okay.
I think they just hit him with stupefies.
Oh, they really knock him out.
Yeah, they stupefy him, and then they have to wake him up.
Yep.
Because, so they stupefy him. Dumbledore kind of walks around and is like, interesting. And it just looks at Snape and is like, would you please... I think Flitwick is also with them. Or no, McGonagall, maybe. So he looks at Snape and he's like, go get your Veritaserum.
Yep.
And, like, we're gonna use that, which makes people tell the truth if you drink it. And then he turns to McGonagall and says, can you go down to the kitchens and retrieve a house elf named Winky? And bring her up here. And McGonagall's like, I'm sorry, what? But okay.
I like how McGonagall's just like, this is so weird.
All okay. Right. Yeah, she doesn't say anything. Like, she's like, all right.
Yeah, like, which I can just, I don't know. I just think that shows, like, such great respect that she's like, this is the dumbest and weirdest thing I've ever done, but knowing Dumbledore, there's
makes
something
sense.
Very important going on.
So, and I think they also bring in the minister, Cornelius Fudge.
Do they?
He must have been there for the tournament.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he was.
Yeah. And I want to say he's there. I don't know.
Sure.
I realize I could just look at the book, but I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's fine. We only look at the book for rhyming things.
Exactly. Because we're awesome.
Yeah.
So they wake Mad-Eye.
Do they bind him or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they bind him with ropes, which has to be post-traumatic stress disorder inducing for Harry. Like, hey, I was just bound with ropes.
Yeah, seriously. Poor kid.
I know.
And I think before they...
Is this the one where he has the dreaming thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to explain that.
Do you want to explain that now?
No, when
okay,
we
good,
get to
when
it.
We get to that. I was judgmental. Sorry.
No, it's totally fine.
Do you explain that now?
Now? Why? No, it would make no sense now, but I just remembered it, and
okay.
I love that
yes,
part, and I just really want to, like, I just want to make dibs on that.
I think, so Dumbledore says, like, they bind him, and then Dumbledore says, give it a minute, let us see if the imposter remembered to take his Polyjuice potion.
Yeah.
And Harry's like,
Harry's
what?
Like, say what now?
What now? And eventually,
Mad-Eye
Moody's body changes.
The eye pops out.
Yeah,
his like rolls across the floor. His leg, his wooden leg pops
right.
off.
Yep, grows back, and it is
Barty Crouch Jr. And everyone's like, "What?
Whoa.
You're supposed to be dead.
Your coat's supposed to be dead.
And where's real Mad-Eye Moody? Question.
Where's your dad? Also,
where is your dad? Because last time we saw him, he was raving in the woods.
Right. So, force-fed Veritaserum.
Yep.
Barty Crouch Jr. tells his story.
Yep.
Do you want to take
it? Well, I can tell part of it.
Okay.
I feel like I'm going to miss details, so
I'll tag in.
Hop in when you need to. So, Barty Crouch says, like, hey, I was sent to Azkaban by my father, and there he got really sick, as one would do in Azkaban. But his mother and father would, like, visit him, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And his mother was getting very sick.
Yep.
At the same time, like, with normal sickness Plus, yeah. probably stress of having a son in the worst prison ever.
The only son.
Their only son. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is they come one day. Actually, maybe not. Never mind. Okay, so they go one day.
I have no idea what just happened.
I thought they gave something to Sirius, but I don't think they did.
No.
Okay. I was thinking of the newspaper, but that's a different thing. Mm-hmm. So.
That's fudge, I think.
Yep. So Mr. and Mrs. Crouch go to visit their son, and what happens is, Barty Crouch Jr.'s mother mm-hmm. is dying, mm-hmm. like actively dying. Mm-hmm. And so they switch places, mm-hmm. her and her son switch places in the prison. Mm-hmm. So she's now in Azkaban, mm-hmm. and then Barty Crouch Sr. sneaks Barty Crouch Jr. out.
Using Polyjuice Potion.
Plus, Dementors are blind.
Right.
So, all they can sense is that, like, there's still a weak soul
in there. One sick person coming, one sick person leaving.
Right. That's all they know. Mm-hmm. So, the funeral that Sirius saw was actually for Mrs. Crouch.
Still taking Polyjuice Potion, I think, until she died.
I think so.
Which, I guess, if you die once you've taken Polyjuice Potion, it just sticks.
Really?
It seems like. Which kind of makes sense, because, like, your body's just going to eventually fight back. Like, it's probably just antibodies that eventually restore you to yourself.
Probably.
I would love to do, like, wizarding science.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. I can't believe you just brought up antibodies. I just want to, like, get a Bunsen burner going. And do wizard science. Hermione Granger would love that.
Oh, she totally would.
So, then Barty Crouch Sr. has been keeping Barty Crouch Jr. in his house.
Under the Imperious Curse.
And Winky the house elf has been helping out, mm-hmm. and that was the huge secret mm-hmm. that she's been keeping for Barty Crouch Sr., is that it's actually Barty Crouch Jr. is at home.
Mm-hmm. But Barty Crouch Jr. gets better and better at throwing off the Imperious Curse.
Right. He learns how to do that really well. Hence teaching Harry how to do it really well.
Still doesn't make any sense.
Still makes no sense. It would be way easier to keep your, like, enemy person under the Imperious Curse. But maybe he was just, like, cocky about the fact that he could do it. So he was like...
It's true. No. Maybe he just liked making Harry jump into desks.
Probably.
She's like, hey.
That would be really funny.
Hurt him.
His knees hit the desk. Yeah, so then he gets better and better at throwing off the Imperious Curse. One day, like, just leaves, I think. I don't know the transition from home to Mad-Eye.
So, he,
It's around the Quidditch World Cup.
It is. So what happens is, his mother had always protested, like, Winky convinces Barty Crouch Sr., this isn't what, you know, your wife wanted, she didn't want him to live in a prison at home, like, let's find something for, I think Barty Crouch Jr. convinces Winky to do this.
Yeah.
But she gets Barty Crouch Sr. to get Barty Crouch Jr. a ticket to the World Cup. And so that's when Winky is sitting next to an empty seat at the World Cup. It's not that she's holding it for Barty Crouch Sr. She's sitting next to Barty Crouch Jr. in an invisibility cloak.
Yep.
Somewhat like Harry's. And so then he steals Harry's wand in the top box. Winky doesn't see because she's covering her eyes because she's afraid of heights. So he is the one who, like, then he's just like, ah, I have a wand, like, oh my gosh, what am I, you know. And then that night sees the Death Eaters, you know, out for a laugh and is just so angry that, you know, I've been serving my time in Azkaban and my mother died and, like, I've been imprisoned, you know, even in my own home and you all get to walk free.
Yeah.
This, hence Mad-Eye Moody's line, there's nothing I hate more than a Death Eater who walked free.
Yep.
Because you can hate that both from the side of being an Auror and from being the side of a Death Eater who's imprisoned. It's true. Fun fact. Ironic, in fact. So, that he casts the Dark Mark. He gets stunned, then, and his father finds him and hides him in the woods.
Yes.
And then, you know, kind of tries...
If you remember, Barty Crouch Sr. went into the woods to try and find whoever was stunned. He found his son and just hit him further.
Yeah. Continue. Blames Winky. Fires Winky because she's allowed him to escape and, like, cast the Dark Mark. Tries to constrict him more. He's able to throw it off. Goes and attacks Mad-Eye Moody. I don't know if we've recovered that Mad-Eye Moody reports getting attacked by his own dustbins.
Yeah.
Or that there's an intruder or whatever. And so there was actually an intruder.
There actually was an intruder. Everyone at the Ministry thinks that he's... Because Mad-Eye Moody's just saying, like, constant vigilance and, like, just, you know... Mm-hmm. Like, he's a paranoid old man is essentially what happens. And so he comes... or he tells the minister, like, hey, I've been, like, someone's trying to attack me, and they're like, okay, man, someone's trying to attack
you. I think he sets off an alarm, and so they have to go look at it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was a legit alarm.
Yeah.
But by the time they got there, Barty Crouch Jr. has attacked Mad Eye Moody, subdued him, trapped him in his own traveling trunk, and taken Polyjuice Potion and dressed up as him. Because Mad Eye Moody's the perfect person to imitate because he only drinks from a hip flask.
Right.
So you can just keep your Polyjuice Potion going constantly.
Also, during the school year, Snape has realized that someone is stealing things from his personal stores of potion ingredients, and they happen to be the ones for Polyjuice Potion. And he's like...
He blames Harry.
He's like, what are you guys doing again? Like, why are you brewing Polyjuice Potion? Which in the movie, he's like, you and your freaky little friends are brewing Polyjuice Potion, and I will find out why. And Harry's like, what the hell are you talking about? But okay. So then they realize that... because I was just going to say, like, they must have, like, an endless supply of Polyjuice Potion, but they now realize that Barty Crouch Jr., as Mad-Eye Moody, has been stealing from Snape's personal stores to brew Polyjuice Potion, which is why when Harry saw Barty Crouch, or the Marauder's map said Barty Crouch, was breaking into Snape's office, it wasn't Barty Crouch Sr., it was Barty Crouch Jr. as Mad-Eye Moody, which is why Mad-Eye Moody was there so quickly, to get more Polyjuice Potion stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
A failing in the map that it's able to tell when somebody's under an invisibility cloak, but can't differentiate between senior and junior.
Yeah.
I guess that's just indicative of the makers of the map, that none of them were named after their fathers.
Right. Everyone's like, ah, we all got unique names, so that's fine.
No one else is named Remus.
Yeah. Sirius? Come on.
James is kind of common.
Kind of.
I can see Peter Pettigrew. Yeah. I can see Peter Pettigrew being like Peter Pettigrew the third.
Totally. He's pretentious and gross.
Yeah, seriously. And all ratty. And
yeah.
So that's all revealed. So then, when Barty Crouch Sr. makes it to the castle and gets Harry gets Dumbledore and the other teachers, Mad-Eye Moody gets there first and makes sure to like, oh, shoot.
What are we talking about here? What's going on?
I'm covering all of the story that Barty Crouch Jr. tells.
Okay.
I don't remember how he attacks his father while his father's with Crumb.
I want to say that Moody was, like, there for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, Moody saw Harry and Crumb.
Maybe.
Like, he was up, and there's some reason, but I don't remember what it was.
Moody gets down there before everybody else does.
Yeah. And then, yeah, like, Moody gets down there, and he attacks Crumb from behind.
Yep.
And then, does he kill his father?
Yeah. Kills him, and transfigures him into a bone, and then buries him.
God, that's upsetting.
Right? Why would you transfigure him into a bone, also? Yeah. Right? Like, make it a mug.
I should...
A muggle.
The mug in my picture was like number one dad. It's really
sad, like weird. That is so awkward.
That's so weird.
That's so great. Yeah, it's transformed into number one. Okay.
Okay.
So then he's the one who transformed the Triwizard Cup into a portkey.
Yep.
Sent Harry off, and then he's like, and now the Dark Lord has risen again.
Yeah. And everyone's like, dang it.
Dang it.
Well, except for Cornelius Fudge, because...
Cornelius Fudge is like, I don't believe any of this. Cornelius Fudge is
like, whatever, this is totally not happening.
Because you don't want to be the Minister of Magic when Voldemort comes back. It's just uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then they find... Do they get the real Mad-Eye?
Yeah, they find him in his trunk. And yeah. Mad-Eye's like, hi.
Hey.
This sucks. Get me the hell out of here. Please let me. Can I have my eye?
Yeah.
And my leg?
It would be much appreciated. And probably a warm meal.
Yes.
By the way, Winky's
story.
Yeah, I feel like she's weeping again.
Yeah, she cries a lot.
And she's just kind of there for, like, backup. Like,
right.
To, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't remember what she confirms, but yeah, this is sort of a summary of the story.
Confirming details.
So then. I think that's it.
I want to say that, I could be wrong by this, but I want to say that Dumbledore says, Harry, like, can you come to my office? Mm-hmm. And we need, and he's like, I know you're exhausted and tired, but I need to know what happened tonight.
Yes.
And so then Harry's like, which Harry, like, has been through a freaking ordeal. Yeah. Like, he's seen his classmate die.
Right.
He's been stabbed for blood to help his, like, major enemy slash the killer of his parents and, like, a ton of other people come alive. He then battled this person and saw, like, ghost images of the things that he killed.
Including his parents.
Like, big things have happened for Harry. And then he found out that his teacher, whom he trusted all year, was an imposter and trying to kill him. Yep. Like, big night for Harry.
Yeah.
So, Dumbledore brings him to his office, and then Harry very... like, is exhausted, but, like, tells the story of, like...
Again.
This is what happened in the graveyard. Like, yeah. Yeah. So then... So Dumbledore knows exactly what happened.
Right. And Dumbledore says, I knew that Mad-Eye Moody was not who he was the moment he took you out of my sight.
Yeah.
Tonight. The Mad-Eye Moody that I know would never have removed you from my presence after an ordeal like that.
Which is so beautiful. I know. Like... yeah. So then
top 20?
Oh, top, like, 5.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
I know, right?
Oh, shoot. It might be top 10 because of what.
Can we just put an expandable charm on 10?
Yep.
Okay.
He's definitely top 10. I'm a little wary to put him in the top 5.
Okay, fair enough.
So he then, takes Harry to the hospital wing, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And... I love this part. So Harry, I think he tells Madame Pomfrey what to do, but Harry lays down, and then Madame Pomfrey gives him this potion that will give him dreamless sleep, which is, like, the most, I think, like, beautiful and healing thing, is for him to, at this moment, like, just pass out and, like, not remember or deal with anything that just happened, because right now he just needs to sleep and, like, get some rest going.
Yes.
And then he wakes up at one point, and I think all the Weasleys are there. Am I wrong?
Because
he wakes up at one point and then gets more potion after that.
Yeah, I think he wakes up, because at one point he wakes up and hears, I think, Dumbledore and Fudge arguing.
Yep.
And they're arguing, like, Dumbledore's like, I can't believe you allowed the Dementors to use
the kiss
on Barty Crouch Jr., and Fudge is like, what's the, I mean, he's a bad guy. And he's like, yes, but he's the only witness, you know, besides Harry Potter to Lord Voldemort rising again. And Fudge is like, that didn't happen.
He's like, there's no way that happened. Like,
he's dead. Don't you tell us your ghost stories, old man.
And Dumbledore's like, Voldemort is back. So if we could, like, start up our, you know, defense systems, that'd probably be dealing with that. And Fudge is like, we're not going to worry about that because it didn't happen.
Yep. And Madame Pomfrey's like, Harry, back to bed. More dreamless sleep for you. And then, he does wake up to all the Weasleys.
And then he wakes up to all the Weasleys and they're all, like, there and supportive and wonderful.
They're his little family.
Yeah. And I think they, like, talk to him, but, like really nice. Of course, Hermione's there too. And then she's always there.
She's married.
She's already
a
daughter-in-law in that family. And he's already a son-in-law. Harry's already a son-in-law. And so they're all there. And I think they talk to him just, like, really sweetly and, like, don't ask him anything about what happened. But they're just like, hi, like, here.
Yay.
We're here.
Love it's you. Okay.
You're okay.
He gets a lot of visitors. Cedric's parents come.
Yep. And I want to say, like, they say something to him, like...
I think they say thank you for bringing his body back.
Yeah.
And he tries to give them
the gold. Yeah.
He gets the 1,000 galleons from Fudge, I think. And he tries to give them the gold.
Fudge very, like...
Yeah.
Bluntly and just... Ugh.
Yeah.
It's like, here's your winnings.
Yeah. It's like, thanks, Fudge.
Thanks.
Dork.
Yeah.
So he tries to give it to the Diggerys and they won't take it. Very Hufflepuffian of them. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, also, like, it's blood money to them.
I don't think they would want.
And he tries to give it to the Weasleys, I think, in general, like, to Molly and...
Yep. And they're like, nope.
Yep.
And then the other thing happens on the train, I think. Or is it now?
Maybe it happens on the train. I thought it happened on the train. Okay, let's put it on the train.
Okay.
So there's just a parade of, like,
maybe
visitors.
Maybe it's on the train?
Let's just put it on the train.
We'll put it on the train. So, there's a parade of visitors, and, like, Harry, like, sees them, and then I think he gets more, like, sleep stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't remember what else happened.
So that, well, then, they say, so, like, the other schools need to leave and stuff.
Oh, yes.
But Dumbledore gives a speech.
Final dinner, yes.
Yeah, the final dinner gives a speech that's talking about how, like, or that talks about Cedric. They have a funeral for Cedric.
Right.
And then, and Dumbledore talks about how, like,
Harry doesn't go to the funeral.
Yeah, no. But this final dinner, Harry's there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dumbledore makes a speech about how Cedric died and he was an, like, innocent, loyal,
brave
boy, man.
Exemplified Hufflepuff.
Yep. And just says very good things about, like, you know, deserving things about Cedric. And then says, gives this wonderful eloquent speech, which I'm not going to be able to do right now, about how, like, Voldemort is back.
Yep. And everybody's like,
yeah. And
you said,
like,
the scary words.
Right. And he's like, I think he says something about how, like, we shouldn't be in fear, but, like, try to buck up.
This is the time that we, you know, this is the time when we really exemplify what the Triwizard Tournament is about, which is about international magical cooperation.
Right.
We have to bind together.
We all need to come together to, like, fight this force in our world, and, like, we must remember the friendships that we made here.
Mm-hmm. And Slytherins are kind of snickering and being weird because they're dicks.
Yeah. And everyone else is like, okay, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody else is sort of terrified because the Ministry is refusing to acknowledge that Voldemort is back. So it's not being covered in any of the papers.
Right. But I think at this point, all the students are kind of on board with Dumbledore. Like, maybe not, like, fully, like, yeah, let's do it. But,
yeah,
like, they're,
but
like,
they're
more,
like,
on his side, and then over the summer.
Man, yeah, that's true. And, yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah.
At some point, Harry and Ron are talking, and they're like, I can't believe this isn't in the papers, and it's like, and Ron's like, yeah, I can't believe Rita Skeeter hasn't published something about it yet, like, even if, and Hermione's like, oh, she won't be printing anything for a long while now, and they're like, what did you do? Because again, Hermione, especially book Hermione, knows all the rules, but she'll kick your ass.
Yeah.
And so she explains that she figured out that, Rita Skeeter is an unregistered animagus, a bug specifically, which I think is supposed to sound like Skeeter, you know?
Yeah.
And, she trapped her that day in History of Magic. She caught her against a window and has her in a jar now. And she's just made her stay in the jar until she promises to not write terrible things about people anymore.
And I think the drawing in the book, like, it's, like, a little bug with Rita Skeeter's glasses on.
With, like,
like, a stick and, like, a leaf in the jar.
Exactly. Like, here you go. Have a stick.
Hermione's, like, halfway taking care of her.
Yeah. And then, as they're on the train going home, I think, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
I think the train going home.
On the train going home.
Although, how is Hermione and Crumb wrapped up?
I don't think it's really wrapped up. It's just sort of this, like, goodbye. I mean,
is
they
the
talk about the fact that Karkov.
Gosh. Karkarov, like, just escaped. Like, he's just
done.
Like, he's not anywhere to be found.
Yeah.
So, Durmstrang just doesn't have a headmaster anymore.
Yep. Sirius.
It's just like, I don't remember.
I don't know. I think he still has to be in hiding.
Well, yeah, he still has to be in hiding, but he's probably leaves Hogsmeade. He's like,
yeah,
we're all good.
Yeah, we're good now. Well, I'll go. I think he, like, says Dumbledore has an assignment for him or something.
Yeah.
Like, he's got projects to do.
He's got projects.
We'll find out about this in podcast the
8th.
Yeah. Podcast the 8th, book 5, Harry Potter and the Order of More Side Stories.
Probably. And most likely part 1.
Probably.
Yeah, so they're on the train going home.
Mm-hmm.
So, can I explain Louise's thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Harry has these winnings from the Triwizard Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really want them.
Mm-mm.
because A, he has enough gold, and B, he's like, this is weird, and like, this is just bad.
Yeah, it's I lost Cedric because of this.
Yeah. So, he runs into the Weasley twins, and he's like, hey.
Oh! Don't forget to explain about what happened with Ludo Bagman.
Oh. Should we explain that now?
Yeah.
So, okay. The twins have been trying to write letters to Ludo Bagman. And, like, they've been trying throughout the entire book and not getting a hold of him. And then they try and counter him, I think, at the end of the Triwizard Tournament. Mm-hmm. Like, the third task. They're, like, trying to talk to him. He's avoiding them.
Yep.
And, the twins, I think the twins then just explained to Harry, they're like, so we made that bet at the...
I think they do explain this on the train.
I think actually. It's on the train. Yeah. And they're like, well, we made that bet with, Ludo Bagman at the Quidditch World Cup, and he never paid us.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like all the money we used, we were saving up to buy, or to start our own joke shop.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would have, like, doubled our money and stuff. But, like...
Instead,
we lost all of it. So, that's really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So, Harry is like, hey, I have all this money that I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it to you to start your own joke shop.
Mm-hmm.
But no one can know about it.
Yep.
Like, he's like, no one's going to know that I'm a part of it.
Yeah. I think he says, just buy Ron some decent-looking dress robes.
Yeah, he's like, buy Ron some decent-looking dress robes. Because that was a fiasco. And, yeah. And so he gives him the money.
I think they say, are you joking? He says, no, you are. Or something like, he tries to make some sort of clever pun.
Yeah.
And they're like, in the midst of his depression.
Well, you have post-marriage stress disorders, we'll giggle for you.
Yeah.
Also on the train, there is a tiny owl.
Yeah.
That flies up to the window where Ron and Hermione and Harry and probably the twins and Ginny are.
Yep.
And flies in, and it's in, like, flying around the top of the, like...
Like a trash?
Yeah. Yeah. Flying around up there, like, hooting and being super annoying. And it drops a letter from Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what the letter says.
I think it's just like, hey, Buckbeak and I have arrived safely.
Right. Yep. We're all good. I'm gonna start working for Dumbledore.
Doing stuff.
Have an awesome summer.
Yep.
Love you. All that good yearbook stuff. Yep. And then sign it says...
Sign snuffles.
P.S. Ron, I'm giving you this bird, or this owl, because I think it... Or because it's my fault you no longer have a pet, because he doesn't have Scabbers anymore.
Right.
Because it's Peter Pettigrew.
Right.
And so, then Ron gets this super annoying owl as a pet. And he's, like, kind of proud of it, but at the same time is like...
He's cute, though. He holds it out to Crookshanks.
Oh, yeah!
And he has him sniff it and says, what do you think? Is it, like, is he okay?
Yeah.
And Crookshanks sniffs him and, like, has no problem with him. Yeah. He's like, all right, cool. He's not, you know, an animagus. I'll take
him. All right, cool. You're mine, then. That's adorable.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
And I think
they just go off
before.
I mean... Let's recognize book four, you know, in the movie ends with Hermione going, everything's going to be different now, isn't it? And Harry going, well, yes, because that's literally the worst line ever.
Yeah.
Wait,
is this the one where the movie ends and they're like, we have something to fight for? Or is that book five?
I think it might be book five.
God, I hate that ending. Okay, I'll rant about that in book five.
I mean, it basically just, like, they get off the train, Harry has to go be with the Dursleys. And he's like, well, okay.
See you, dudes. Yeah.
Voldemort's back, I guess.
Voldemort's back. Let me know what's going on, I guess.
Yeah, whenever, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
But we're going to have a Weasley joke shop.
Exactly.
Sometime in the future.
Yay!
So!
Book the fourth.
Book
concluded.
Four
with podcast the seventh.
Yes. Thank you for listening, Robert.
Yep.
Hope you're enjoying these.
Yep. We are.
We are. And, we will see you next time with Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, or whatever we decide to call it.
Exactly.
Catch you later.
Peace.